Hey everybody, it's Brian and Zona from BZ Furfur here.
Hi.
This is Paro Toasty Talk Season 3, Episode 3. Today we are going to be talking about sustaining creative communities. And today we have a very special guest with us today. From all the way over in Texas, we have the lovely Krista Webb from blindlove.woodburning. And she's going to be talking to us about sustaining creative communities. So, hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for doing this. It's great. I think we've been talking about having you on since last season or maybe the season before. I
It
think
was
it
last season.
was it? Yeah. I know we've talked about it. I know I've talked to you about it. I think in I don't remember how, but I know had this conversation. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we were talking about it, I think a year ago. But you know what happened? Life.
Yes, exactly. Life and more life and some more life on top of life. And a bunch of wood burning in between. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
my youngest son bought himself a 1994 Camaro off of Facebook Marketplace. So my weekends have consisted of going out and working on the car with him every weekend. And I know nothing about automotive. So him and I are just winging it.
Oh yes, and then I had to take I he took the car to the mechanic to have it diagnosed electrically, and I was driving behind him on purpose, and I watched there's a hose that is not connected
Oh
now, and it was hanging, and I watched it hang, and I'm like, okay, it's hanging, but we're driving to the mechanic, so I'm like, all right. Mechanic is literally 10 minutes from the house. And I'm like, all right, it's fine. It's 10 minutes. It's just 10 minutes. And I'm watching it hang. And then I start seeing liquid. And
no.
I'm like,
Yeah,
that's not good. That's not good. I think it just scratched enough times on the ground that it popped. Like it must have put a hole in the hose. So now there's a leak in the hose. And I was like, dude, you've got two more problems. And he goes, what? And
Oh
I'm like, hose hanging, leak.
no.
And he goes,
I told
I
him to
think I
secure that.
know. He was like, there, it started going crazy. And I'm like, And he goes, the hose that I just fixed. And I'm like, probably. He goes, well, at least it's at the mechanics.
Oh no. Oh, that's such a bummer.
It
Oh.
is.
So yes, so
Hopefully,
life
hopefully he
happens.
gets it. I mean, he's 16. It's his first car. And hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It could be so much worse. So
Yeah,
I'm
it
just
could have
like, you
been
know
worse.
what? It's okay. It's okay. That's how I'm gonna take it. It's okay. Because it could be
It's
so much worse.
okay. Yep.
It could be so much worse.
So I'd like to let Krista introduce herself.
Yes.
So, Krista, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do? And tell us a little bit about your interest in wood burning.
Yeah. So I'm Krista. I live in Dallas, Texas area. Although I like to tell people my heart is in Washington State, the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I've been wood burning since 2019, and I do like to disclose that I am legally blind and hard of hearing. I live with a condition called Usher's syndrome, which is causing my hearing and vision loss. Ironically, I discovered wood burning art shortly after I became legally blind. So it started off what was an interesting hobby choice for what people would say for a blind person, a legally blind person in a fiery pen, right? Not every day you meet somebody who is low vision and playing with a wood burning pen. So I think that also grabbed my attention from the start, is doing something not very common. And it was the curiosity that I just had to learn more about it. So That was 2019, and I haven't stopped. And I'm wearing a shirt, the Burn Club Plus shirt. When Rachel was running it, and now Basha is running it, both wonderful people. Shout out to both of them and the whole community. And because of the wood burning community, it's really helped my artistic skills take off, being creative with all these different burn prompts that we would do each week or every month, and just connecting with the community and uplifting and learning from one another. And then I soon after learned that there's other communities out there that I was not aware of, because I was brand new with the Instagram world. That was my go-to social media for sharing my wood burning art and connecting with the Burn Club. And it was actually Rachel. She was the one that told me, start using hashtags. I could start using hashtags related to my disability. And I never even thought of that. It's not like we go to school and learn how do we learn the algorithm? How do we use the social media for TikTok and Instagram and Facebook? And I mean, all of these things. It's hard to follow when you're trying to follow your passion and finding that balance. And so as soon as I figured out the different hashtag, people from the other communities were finding me, and then we were connecting, and then I was finding other people as well. For instance, I started off with like Woodburn or hashtag Woodburn, hashtag Cedar, hashtag Razor Tip, hashtag, all burning related words. And then I started using like blind artists, deafblind artists, disability artists, advocacy, wall art, things like that. And here I am.
So, and I know that our topic here is to talk about sustaining communities and talking about, connecting with other people in the community. But I do want to just spend a brief moment to ask you about your, do you feel like your impaired vision, does it make it art more challenging, but do you think that it allows you to bring something different to art than people with standard typical vision?
Yes, so that's a good question. So when I started off as legally blind, so many people like myself in the beginning are not aware that blindness, among other condition, runs on spectrum. So blindness is a spectrum, and people may only see little tiny central vision. Some people may only see lights and shadows. Some people may not have the central vision but have peripheral. Well, maybe they have blurriness that's not resolvable, that's not fixable with glasses. And so what I like to point out that I have a little bit of tiny central vision. Imagine looking through two drinking straws. So very, very small central vision. And it does create challenges in regards to figuring out if the image looks balanced. But I do have hacks. I have learned ways to help me make sure things look balanced. For instance, I will use my phone camera, which automatically shrinks the overall larger picture in real life onto a smaller screen, so then I can see better
It's
with
interesting.
the balancing the image that I'm putting together. I typically create the image digitally on Procreate or some other editing apps. And that's how I will work with customers too. It's to make sure that if this digital looks okay, then I will make sure it looks somewhat like that on the actual wood piece. And when I started off wood burning, I had about 20 degrees of central vision. And so my central vision was a little bit bigger, but it was still, when you have 20 degrees or less, you're considered legally blind. I'm down at less than 5 degrees where I am now. But when I started off with wood burning 2019, my central vision was a little bit bigger, and Once I learned about wood burning art, creating wood burning art, it is not a quick process. I think we all understand that. It's not like you can pick up a marker and just color it in. Wood burning really does force you to slow down. Well, as my vision has shrunk over the years, I've had to slow down even more because of my limited vision, trying not to burn in areas I'm not supposed to burn. Yes, maybe I have burned my finger here once or twice.
So has Zona, and she doesn't have the excuse of being legally blind.
My excuse is that I'm just a klutz. That's my only
Well,
excuse.
not a lovely smell, is it?
No, and it's that, oh, ow. I guess I should have did
Like
that.
that human flesh burning. Oh,
Yeah.
it's like it's
Ooh.
really gross.
No.
I don't
No.
recommend it.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah, and so with when you're asking me about, I guess, not just the challenges, but what were you asking, like how
Do
it's
you feel
different?
like you bring something different, right? That
Something different.
because you kind of perceive the world in a different way than other people do, that you're able to produce art that presents the world in a different way than other people would present it.
Right. So art tells a story. And a lot of my art I've been creating over the last year and two, or maybe 2 years, a couple years, I incorporate Braille and sign language. And then I'll also incorporate some things with a white cane, the cane that like a person who has low vision and blind would use, and just have fun with it. And one of my favorite art pieces is this girl, this lady is driving a Jeep Wrangler and she has a white cane outside the door. It's a beautiful mountain scene behind her. This is all a woodburn piece. And, I like to have fun. Like I said, I like to have fun with it. It doesn't have to be so serious or so sad. You can find ways to share your condition, your story in other ways. And so that was just one example. I've created some other fun pieces or cork hats. People like the not just the text with like maybe love, 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 but I'll also incorporate some hand sign language, LOVE, above the text. And then maybe below, I'll do Braille, which is the dot that some low vision people, blind people will use. But in Braille in real life is ray. So it's the opposite. With wood burning, we're doing a dent. We're pushing down on the wood. So when I do create these pieces for people who are low vision and blind, I do have to clarify with them, just so you know, with these Braille pieces, they're not rays. So unless you want me to add puff paint, like a clear puff paint over to feel the rays, but it's still tactile when dented, it's just the opposite. With Braille being raised. So I think that's what my pieces kind of catch some people's attention. It is different with incorporating the deafblind culture in a way.
I think what your pieces bring to choreography, I think one of the biggest things is the knowledge, right? Because it brings awareness. Because you incorporate those things and it brings the questions, right? Oh, what's that? Oh, is that sign language? Oh, and then it brings the questions. Oh, do you know sign language? Why do you know that? Why do you incorporate that? Oh, you're blind. Oh, I didn't know that. And then you can educate people about the syndrome if you choose to. I mean, of course, you can always just nod if you want to, because you may not be in the mood to talk about your personal life that night. Because just because you're an artist and a quote unquote public figure doesn't mean that you have to divulge your life every single time that you want to, right? But you
Right,
might,
absolutely. And
right?
that's why we have the community. That's why we have each other. So if
Right.
you're too tired out or burned out, then you have your peers,
Somebody
your fellow
else.
peers, they can jump in and answer question to educate, and also people are on the platform not just to learn but also to be inspired. So I have the disabled community reaching out just for they're asking questions or sharing their stories. Okay, I can relate with that, and maybe they feel inspired to do some art themselves, not necessarily wood burning art, but just some other technique with maybe painting or even creating music, or they feel inspired to just get out and find their passion. We all should have the opportunity or find the opportunity to figure out what gives that spark in your life, whatever it is.
So once you establish your community, once you reach out to people through hashtags and through the, different groups that you're a part of, and you start to build that community of people around you, how do you sustain that? How do you keep people coming back? How do you keep people engaged so that or what keeps you engaged to keep you in that community alive?
Is making sure that when people reach out or comment, engage, connect, be real, be authentic. And that's how the community grows. People are hungry for that connection. They're not looking for a superficial connection. They're looking to be seen and heard. And I think that's what helped the community grow, is when people reach out, whether it's on the post or private message, or they find out, hey, we live in the same town, let's meet up for coffee. Or I have connected with many people outside of the state, out of the country. Last summer, I met up with a person who is low vision, has the same vision loss as I do, in Copenhagen, Denmark. And it was awesome that we'd never met in real life until I visited her country. And it just shows that you can find people who want that true connection. You can have that connection online, but something about meeting with them in person is pretty empowering too. Like how, wow, social media did this to us. Social media actually helped us meet in real life, and if we don't meet in real life, like I haven't even met you guys in real life, but we're connecting and getting deep here. Like, how can we grow together? How can we help the community grow? And like you said, like there's multiple communities out there. I mean, in the beginning, you were talking about your son, Carl. What was it, Camaro?
Yeah, he's got a Camaro.
Camaro. So you could join like a Camaro page and connect with them, or you could start, create a fun Camaro woodburn piece and then share your story about your son. I don't know, it's just a fun way to like a storytelling when you
Well,
create
that would be
art.
super cool if you burnt a picture of his Camaro onto a piece of wood for like his birthday.
What year is it?
It's a 94.
94.
Yeah, it's very slick, but it needs work.
I mean, it's a cool car. I was like, if it was in better shape, I mean, I saw it and I was just like, you know what? It's a cool car. If it was in better shape, I could absolutely see myself in that car.
Maybe someday. But
But community, yeah.
we all have
Community.
different like communities we could certainly join. You got your blue hair, right? You could join like a cool hair coloring page or something. Or I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, what is a community, right? A community is just people connecting over some kind of a common interest, right? It could be two people, I mean, for all intents and purposes, if you meet somebody online and you share a common interest with them, you're a community now. And then it's just a matter of bringing more people in. I am a I play a lot of board games. And it's I always felt when I, pre the internet really becoming big, I always felt so isolated because it wasn't a big popular hobby. It was something that you need to do in a communal environment, right? You need another person or people to play board games with. And being able to find those communities was really challenging. Now I can go online and I can find people. I can find where there's meetups and we bring our games and we play them together. You know, there's services that you can play games online. You know, you have they have these conferences where you know it's or these cons where you can go and you can meet
Board
the
geek.
designers and you can meet you can play test games. And I mean, it's amazing how much community is accessible to us now that wasn't accessible to us even 10 years ago.
I mean, you said the word accessible,
Yeah.
and the more accessible it is, the easier people can join and find these groups that they never had, like you said earlier, never had that ability. Years, 10 years ago. And when things are easy, when it's just like a touch of a button away, then boom, they can find their people, their connection.
So you talked about your friend in Copenhagen, and you talked about some other people that you've met who you've met in real life. And it sounds like you've built some connections with these people, some meaningful connections with these people. What do you think is important in trying to build connections beyond just, I do pyrography. Oh, I do pyrography too. Let's talk about, what our favorite nib is. You know, like that stuff is great, but what
Yeah.
How do you build deeper connections with people
So,
that you meet in communities?
valid question. Just because someone, so here's something I like to tell people. Just because I see or there's another blind person in the room doesn't mean I'm going to connect with them in a deeper level. I can connect with them on a surface level, but that doesn't mean we will connect on a deeper level just because we got one thing in common. Now, we can be each other's cheerleaders and share resources and things that could be useful. So if we're talking about wood burning art, pyrography art, then there, I don't know how many pyrographers out there in this world. Do we have any data?
I
Thousands.
do have some data. It's more than thousands. I think when
You pulled the numbers once.
I did pull the numbers, and 1 million people in the US, 8 million people worldwide that own or
Million.
use wood burning tools based on sales.
Okay, so that's pretty wild if you think about it, because
That is wild.
wow, and that's worldly, right? Not just US.
So 1 million US. 8
Okay.
million worldwide.
Oh wow. Okay. So there's a lot of us out there that we don't necessarily, I mean, we obviously haven't met all of them.
Well, here's what's interesting is we do a lot of in-person shows, and Zona puts all of her work up on display, and she takes her razor tip with her, and she does a
I'm
burning
burning.
on site. And there are so many people who come up to us and say, "Oh, wood burning. Yeah, I bought one of those machines, or I got one of those machines as a Christmas gift. I tried it once and I couldn't get it to, I couldn't create what I wanted to create. I tried to draw a circle and it came, looked terrible and then I gave up." And
Right.
I think that that's because there's not a lot of resources, there's not a lot of readily available communities that people can find. Because I think a lot of people who do pyrography, at least historically, were not really sharing their stuff online. They were kind of doing, they would make their own thing and share it with their family, share it with their friends. But it really wasn't like other art mediums. It wasn't like acrylic and pottery and all of these art mediums that have such prominence in the art world. So we end up.
Commonly accepted. It's not very commonly accepted.
It's a unique piece of art. It really is. It's
It
art.
But there's a lot of people who are interested in it. Otherwise, a million people in the US wouldn't have bought wood burning machines. Now, granted, a lot of them, probably bought the, the one that's $20 in the, craft section of Walmart, which is fine. It's a great place to start, but
Yeah, most people will start with like the solid tip anyway. I mean, that's what we usually tell people to start with because that's a $30 wood burner. I mean, start with that before you even, figure out if you even want to continue with this before you buy a $300 machine. That's what I tell people. I'm like, listen. They're like, oh, how do I do that? I'm like, wait, whoa, slow your roll. This machine costs like $300. All this that you see here costs a lot of money.
You have to figure out what, how much time do you want to invest? Is this something you want to
Exactly.
turn into like a part-time job or just more of a
Exactly.
hobby or a full-time job or
Yeah, that's what I get into. That's what I tell a lot of people that will come by and they'll watch me burn and they'll be, and it's interesting because I can tell with some people, like, and they're just like, oh, I want to do that. Tell me about it. And they're just kind of like hobbyist. Oh, like you can kind of tell the fleeting interest type people. And then you can kind of tell the kind of medium interest people. And then you can kind of tell the really serious interest people, right? You can tell the levels, like where their interest lies. And it's very entertaining to me because I always start off with this setup that you're looking at, and it's my travel setup. So it's not even like my full setup. What you're looking at, it's like my medium machine with just like a couple of my tips and just like part of my setup. I was like, this, what you're looking at, is probably close to about $800 right here. Because it's my machine, my tips,
Extractor.
my smoke extractor, and like half of my pens, the mat, whatever, and just, the handful of
It
things.
all adds up, right?
Right. And like this probably by itself is probably about $800. And they're just like, $800. I'm like, yeah, this all adds up. I mean, the machine itself is expensive, but these things all add up together. And these are pretty important. And I can tell you exactly why these are all important. But yes, it adds up. This setup is expensive. Now you could go the cheap route. Okay, yeah, what's the cheap route? From then on, I'm like, all right. Hobbyist. That's fine. That is fine. And then I've had people say, well, do you do like classes? Yeah, no, I haven't. I've been asked, but there are reasons why I haven't done classes yet. Right. And then, like, you kind of get the idea of where they're at with that. So,
And I
yeah.
think that's fine. I think that, everybody has their own motivations and their own goals for what they want to accomplish. And, sometimes those hobbyists will turn into professionals because they make their first piece. I burned my first piece the other day. She taught me on a solid tip.
Oh, no. Oh, this is great. Really quickly. So, did a thing and I handed him a piece of wood and the solid tip burner. And he was like, are you going to ever teach me how to burn? And I handed him a solid tip wood burner and he's playing around with it. And I handed to him a couple of different tips and he's playing around with that. He's like, I hate this. I'm like, okay, try this tip. Try this tip. Try this tip. Try this tip. I was like, are you ready for the razor tip? He goes, I don't know. You tell me. Am I ready? I'm like, try this tip. He's like, oh my God.
It was such a difference. It
He's
was like, I was like, why didn't you just give me this to begin with?
like,
Why are you?
I need this. I was cracking up. I actually have this on audio. I have videotape of this. I have video of him saying, that's garbage. I need to keep the razor tip.
That's funny.
And I'm telling him, I'm like, well,
What
I
did you
have an
end up
aspiration.
creating? Did you do a bunch of lines or patterns?
It was a pattern. He was
I
doing
was
a
doing
pattern.
some freehand stuff just to kind of get a feel for it, and then I mean they would all looked awful, and then she gave me some patterns to follow, and those were a lot better.
It was not as
So you
bad
have
as
a greater
I thought.
appreciation for people who use different wood burning tips or pens.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I think that, I mean, she's been doing this for 5 years, and I've been watching her do it, and I get the challenges that come with it. And I've watched some people, like I see other artists, and I kind of, look at other artists' work and look at her work, and I'm like, oh man, I could see somebody starting out. I can start to pick out some of the things, like I could see the blobs, and I could see the, where they overburned here, or where, they use the wrong tip or things like that. And, I get it, and I think that that's one of the things I've noticed, that people don't know enough about pyrography to know what to appreciate about it, right? It's People know a lot about painting, watercolors, acrylics. They know a lot about ceramics. They know a lot about, where they can look at something and say, oh, that's really good because you use this technique. But when they look at a piece that's woodburned, they don't know all of the techniques. So they're kind of oblivious to some of the details of it, and they're just like, oh, that's nice. Did you do that on a machine? Did you do that on a with a laser?
The laser, yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the question.
I know, right? Like, no, this is actually hand drawn, handmade here.
I think that's always one of the more frustrating things about when we're at a market is like they'll see like I do maps. I do maps and I do a lot of fine line wood burning and I get the I love it when when guys come in and it a lot of the time I will notice that it's men who say this. They'll walk in and they'll go, oh, you got some really nice laser burn stuff. And it's like, no, everything's hand burned and hand painted by me. And then they look at him and they go, oh, he does some really good hand burn stuff. And he goes, I don't do anything. That's all her. I just stand here and I talk, and they go, she does all this? And they're like completely baffled. And it's like, yes, I hand burn stuff as I'm burning things.
Do you have your machine with you and you're burning in front of them?
Yes.
Wow.
And they're still like, you hand burn this?
You
It's
see what I'm doing? Look down. Look down. Yep, right
bizarre.
here.
It's really bizarre.
That's funny. When I don't do this anymore, but when I would sell some of my art pieces at holiday market, I would have a blown up printed picture, a side by side photo to show people what I see. So the left photo is a normal picture of me holding a wood burning pen at the picnic table. I was camping. And then on the right side, the same photo, but the only thing you see is just a close-up picture on the center of the photo. So you can't see anything on the outside. So it really gives people that aha moment when they see that, like, wow, and you were able to word burn that. I was like, yeah. And
Remember seeing that on your Instagram. I remember the first time I saw that, it was like my mind was blown.
well, people
Like,
are visual learners, and so I
yeah.
love that you brought your wood burning machine at, you said it at a market or at a
We bring
show?
it
Every
everywhere.
show.
Everywhere.
It's my travel machine.
Yeah. So
And
people, like, they don't want to believe it until they see it, And so when they're visual people, and then they'll believe you, like, oh, you really did create that.
So, what's your take on supporting other people's work within the community? So, we talked a little bit about being part of a community. What do you do as part of a community to kind of encourage people, whether it's trying new things, whether it's expanding beyond their current limitations, especially as somebody who's had to overcome a lot. Because of their own physical limitations. What do you do to kind of encourage and support other people in your communities?
So community, I mean, it depend Like, which community are we talking about? Are we talking about like the wood burning community, or are we just talking about my deaf blind community? Are we talking about just the
Yes.
full spectrum, the whole range of audience, everyone who's on social media? And
Yes.
yeah, yes.
If you feel like there's different approaches that you use for different communities, feel free to tell us both, like how you do it for each. If there's something that's kind of a common thread among them, then let us know what that is.
So when I started off sharing my wood burning art on Instagram, and I keep talking about Instagram, that's my go-to social media. I used Instagram like a place to just kind of like blog. I was just sharing my pieces, and then people were liking it and showing interest. I'm like, oh, people like my art? Okay. I mean, I just wanted an organized place. Like, I was journaling my pieces that I completed. And like I said earlier, that's when soon after I discovered the Burn Club and then other communities out there. But little did I know, there's so much for us to learn, not just in the wood burning community, but with everything that's going on. And I'll be specific here. For me, it would be more with the disabled community, that there are so many different conditions out there. In fact, I actually just came back from Washington, D.C., attending rare disease event, and there are over 10,000 rare conditions out there in the world, over 10,000 rare conditions.
Wow.
And that just speaks volume with how much we don't know what's out there. And that's just, I'm talking about condition. Now, if we talk about, maybe if you want to talk about cars, or talk about just the different cultures out there, we just have so much to learn. So then I was learning, okay, well, how can I make my post more accessible? Because I was connecting with other blind artists, not wood burning artists, but blind wood artist, or blind painters, or blind potters. And I noticed that some of them were including in the description, like image description, and I discovered how useful that is for people who are low vision. And how helpful it is, not just for low vision people, but maybe they have a different condition that they maybe have a hard time understanding what's going on in the picture, that when they see a description, then their brain just does a better job grasping what it is.
I'm in from the IT world, and I do web development. And one of the things that has become super critical from a technology standpoint is accessibility and making websites and making web applications accessible. And to one of the main things is adding, alt descriptions for images that make your enable screen readers to be able to tell people who have low vision or no vision what it is that that's being presented on the page. And it's super important. In fact, even like Google and other companies that are, managed search engines, prioritize web pages that have those kind of alt tags on their images, because it's making the web a better place for people with disabilities. And I think that's fantastic. It's actually a you mentioned blind woodworkers. Zona just read a book by what's that gentleman's name?
Is it John Furness?
Yes.
The Blind
Yes.
Woodsman?
I love
Yes.
John Furness.
And
He's
his wife
awesome.
Annie.
Yes,
Annie is
they're
awesome too.
funny.
And Annie is an artist too, and she creates art that's tactile so her blind husband can feel her art.
Yes.
And he has zero vision.
Yep. And I think it's so cool how they will they collaborate and make art. He'll do wood turning. He'll wood turn art, the bowls and whatnot, and then she'll add on pieces, and then they're tactile. So she'll add it on and he'll feel it. And then he'll describe it. And it's a combination. It's very, very cool. It's very cool how they do their stuff.
And that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. Like
Taking
he
whatever
is
works.
experiencing a piece of art, and he's describing it in the way that he's experiencing it, which is going to be very different than somebody who's experiencing it who has vision. And that was kind of what I was getting at earlier when I asked you, when you're creating art, do you create something that is it does it give you a different perspective when you create because you don't see the world in the way that everyone else sees it? My oldest son is autistic, and he sees the world in a very different way. And when he describes things to me, when he describes his experiences as a neurodivergent adult now, it's
Unique.
confusing, and yeah, it's confusing and unique and interesting because he's experiencing the world in a way that I would never experience it. And I don't think that's limited to just people who are neurodivergent. I think it's limited to people who are, have all different challenges that they have to overcome.
You know what it is though? I've stalked your Instagram page for a while.
You did?
I've stalked your Instagram page for a while, and I've watched your journey. I haven't stalked Instagram in a while because I can just go down the rabbit hole, and then there's like 8 hours, and I'm like, oh man, I was supposed to like work on like four pieces already.
Oh
Oops.
no.
So I have to control myself because I will rabbit hole, and my ADHD is just like out of control. But I've looked at your Instagram and I've seen all the adventures that you go into, and just the adventures that you go on, and I've seen how it inspires your art.
You can see
And
that I don't just share my art. I also share some like real live clips of what I'm doing, whether it's traveling or just going out for a walk with my white cane. So it shows like another side of me, not just as an artist, but I'm also, doing life in other ways too. And I wanted to touch base about how some of my art is, it kind of shifted in a way over the last couple of years. Where I have a deeper appreciation for tactile, for and so I do try to do some of my wood burning art like deeper, so that way people who are low vision or blind or even people who are neurodivergent and some of them are can appreciate touch, tactile. And so I've been playing around with epoxy and adding some little tiny pebbles from my backyard and just adding kind of like another dimension to my woodburn pieces. It's important that my woodburn doesn't get lost when I'm doing other things with it, because I do take pride in the woodburning art itself. So sometimes people will ask, oh, are you going to add color to it? And don't get me wrong, I love color, but I think that for me, I like to highlight the wood burning image itself and maybe throw in a little color as an accent. Or I'll play with my Dremel in like a handheld Dremel and to kind of help maybe raise or lower some parts of the image to, again, giving it another dimension look.
You know, what's interesting about that is that for someone who doesn't think about whether I can see it or not, right? I think, oh, are you going to add color? And you're someone who thinks, It doesn't matter to me whether I can see it or not because I can't see it, right? You're thinking, can I see it? Because you see with your hands, right? So you're thinking, well, you're asking me, what am I going to do to enhance it? And what can I see? Since you see with your hands, you're thinking tactile. That's a very interesting, that's a very interesting
It's
perspective.
another way of seeing things
Yes.
is by using your other senses, by touch,
Yes.
or for some people by smell. They like the smell of the wood.
Ooh,
And
I couldn't do.
actually, like a month ago, I did this woodburn hand signing, I love you. And inside that, I love you, between the two middle fingers where it's down, the hand is holding a white candle. It's actual wax. And so it
Oh,
smells really nice. You actually
really?
can't smell the burn. You smell the wax that had the that came with the scent in the candle. I actually used the candle, melted it, and I dumped it in there.
Ooh, that's
Yeah, I mean, I had to use my
cool.
X-Acto knife a little bit to kind of clean it up. And so that was, again, just having fun experimenting. How can I make this a bit tactile?
I have to draw the line, though, at people coming in and tasting the art.
Oh, you know what? Side note, I was watching a video yesterday, and somebody made art made out of sugar, like melted sugar,
Oh.
and like sculptures out of
Yeah.
sugar, and he didn't realize that when he said he when he, that he put on the on like an on the plaque that it was made out of sugar, that people were going to start licking the sculptures. And so there's video of people like
Ooh.
licking and sucking on the sculptures. Okay, first of all,
Oh.
that's gross as hell. Okay, let's all be honest about this. But imagine this. They were sculptures of people and body parts.
Oh, yeah.
So they were particular body parts, and it was
Okay.
like,
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I want to know any more about this.
it had to stop because I was flipping, and I was
You
like,
went into the weird part of the internet.
it was the
I'm like
art
drawn in. I'm
part
like,
of the
keep
internet,
going.
but it was weird. But I was like, why is this woman licking the sculpture? And then I had to read the caption because I was like, why? And then I realized why. And I was like, but
So,
why?
the imagination,
Imagination,
the
sweetness.
sweetness. Pro tip, if you don't want anybody eating your art, don't make it out of sugar.
Or at least put it be make it so that they can't get to it.
Yeah, put it behind glass.
Yes. It was very weird. What was even stranger is that people had their kids and they were like, they were had
Oh,
their
yeah.
kids like, they were
Yeah,
lifting up the kids to lick the sculpture.
that's awkward.
Gross. I mean, I'm just thinking like sharing lollipops. That's what I was thinking about, like how gross it is to like take a lollipop and like share it among a class of
And
kids.
here I'm like, how can we woodburn on a lollipop? That'd be kind
I mean, that's possible, by the way, but that's not, we're not, listen. I mean,
Well, you
it's
know,
melted
Rachel from Woodburn Corner, I know she woodburned on pasta, the little pasta noodles.
sugar.
And what
Yes.
else has she done? She's done a few different food groups.
Well,
I've done an
toast.
apple. I've done an apple and pumpkin.
I think you just had a
Sense.
on Woodburn Corner, they just did an open studio where they did gourds, didn't they?
Yes, we did
Oh
an open session
yeah.
on gourds. This month's challenge actually is different
Different
surfaces,
mediums, right?
different mediums actually. And I listen, Bosch is gonna kill me because I still haven't done my piece yet, and I think everybody is
Does
going
a
to.
surfboard count?
I don't know
Surfboard.
if the
Are you
surfboard
did you
counts.
woodburn on a surfboard?
I wood burned on a surfboard. It's a wooden surfboard. But
It's
it's a
decorative.
surfboard.
It's more
It's a
decorative. It's not
traditional
a functional
surfboard, yeah.
surfboard.
Which is
That's cool.
not.
She's woodburned on skateboards.
I have.
I've done it. I've done a skateboard. I just haven't revealed it. I did it a couple years ago. A blind skater designed the piece, and he mailed me the skateboard. and then mail and then sent me the design. So I burned it, and we were going to do a collaboration at some point and do like a giveaway or something. A couple years later, we haven't done anything yet. We're still figuring it out, but
Well, hers was for a fundraiser. There
okay.
was a gentleman, Vic, a friend of ours in Charlotte, who we had met at a market, and he was asking her if she could burn on a skateboard because he was a skateboarder. He'd do the longboards. He would him and
Okay.
his friends would do the longboards. He was an older guy, and he said that he had a annual fundraiser that he would do where he would have artists from all over Charlotte do skate decks, and then they would auction them off, and they use the money to fund treatments for some families who had children with spina bifida.
Pay for the treatments and their families.
So Zona did two decks for that, which both were, bought in auction, and then she had done another four decks just to
Fun.
bring with us, five decks with us, just to for sale. And the ones that didn't sell are currently hanging up over in a restaurant over in Monroe, just one town over from us.
Oh, that's awesome. You
Yeah, two of
see,
them
that's what
sold.
I'm talking about with, I think community over, what is it, competitive,
Yeah,
competition.
so that was actually one of the questions that I had for you was about when you're part of a community, does it feel competitive? How do you kind of keep it from becoming competitive? And because I mean this is something that I think any artist can relate to. You go to a market and there's somebody who does the same medium of art as you. And you feel like, I can't believe there's two wood burning artists here. Now we're going to have to split our sales. And I think that that's the wrong way to look at it. But I wanted to know what your perspective was on when you're part of a community, how do you encourage them to create? Knowing that you're both trying to, for all intents and purposes, market to the same audience.
So we all have space to learn. We all have space to learn, and just because somebody else is wood burning doesn't mean you can't learn from them. If anything, we can encourage each other and support one another. It is very easy to compare when that should be the last thing. You don't want to compare. It's kind of a different situation for me because my communities are, a lot of them are, in the disabled, low vision, deaf-blind communities, and I really have not come across any, if any, wood burning artists who are deaf-blind, blind. There are some, but I think what has helped is, well, one, limit your time on social media. If you find yourself going down that rabbit hole, go take it. Take off. You need to get off your screen, whether that's on your computer, on your phone. Tell somebody about it, and then you can be accountable for your actions. But what really has helped me is one of my love languages is gifting. And I like to create and give and acknowledge people for, maybe they're a nonprofit organization, for auctions like you were talking about earlier, for just how, here's one example. There's this account. They're pretty well known. They're on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. They go by Matthew and Paul, and they're an awesome couple who create. So Paul is a blind artist, and he has the same vision loss like me, and his husband likes to do pranks. He likes to do pranks on his blind husband.
Oh, I've seen them.
You
Okay,
know who they are?
I have. I do.
And
Okay.
it's awesome. And Paul, and this is all done by just out of kindness. Ever since Matthew did his first prank on Paul told Matthew, please do not ever stop doing prank, because it made him feel alive. It made him feel seen, that humor. So anyway, I absolutely love how they use their platform. So Paul is also an author. He has created 5 children book. He created it digitally with all these cartoon animation things like that. And if you watch their stuff, I dare you watch without smiling. Just try. Because their stuff, it's like you just want to keep watching their stuff. And so what I did was,
It's very kind-hearted too. They're not mean about the pranks either.
no.
If you
And
send
so,
me their Instagram account, I will include it in the show notes.
okay. So what I did was I emailed Matthew and Paul and I said, hey, I absolutely love what you guys are doing on your platform. I would like to create something I'm a wood burning artist. I also have the same vision loss as Paul. We're both artists, right? And I would love to create something. What would you like? And so, one of Paul's famous cartoon characters are the penguins. They're penguins and they're pingrooms. So these two pingrooms with a colorful rainbow bow tie. And I said, I can create that, or I can do his guide dog, Mr. Maple, whatever. So Matthew's like, oh my gosh, if you could create the penguin, that'd be awesome. I'm like, done. I also surprised them with another hat. Now, when I say hat, these are trucker hats with adjustable buckle in the back. And on the front, it's like a spot where it's cork. It's just cork. And can wood burn on it on a lower heat, of course. You don't want to burn through it. And so the second hat, I surprised them with blindness is a spectrum, with spectrum in rainbow colors. So I mailed this to them, not expecting anything in return. This is just straight up thanking them for using the platform they do, because really what we need in this world is just kindness and, positive education, things like that. So when they received the hat, little did I know they created a video out of it. It was kind of a prank, actually. Matthew did a prank on Paul, thinking that Paul had a different hat on. And Matthew's like, he said something about the hat, and Paul's like, "What are you talking about? This is my hat." So anyway, long story short, got over 1 million views. They had asked me to do a collaboration, and my page kind of got some attention, and I was getting a lot of messages from people, even just like positive messages. Other people who are maybe struggling artists, and yeah, it just shows that just because maybe an account that has millions of followers, and then them acknowledging another account that maybe they're very, very small, it doesn't matter how many followers a page has. As long as it just takes one person to support another person. If you can support one person, check.
Yeah,
One person at a time. One person at a time.
we had a similar experience to that, where Zona, you had a couple who you were big fans of them, and you did like a plaque for them, like a little
Yes.
just a plaque with their names on it, and sent it over to them just as a thank you for being on the platform and, being honest and sharing their experiences as people in the LGBTQ community. And she made this nice plaque for them and sent it over to them, just thinking it was just going to be something to kind of cheer them up, thank them for what they're doing. And they did something similar, where they did a
They did an unveiling. Yeah, that was
oh
fun.
yeah.
Yeah, caught some attention. I didn't even realize it because I don't think they actually tagged me. I just happened to come across it when I was on their platform, the unveiling.
Oh.
They didn't actually tag me in the unveiling. So,
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
But nonetheless, it was still a great experience, you
Yeah.
know, to just kind of get that acknowledgement that, and this was way in the beginning when we probably had 100 followers on Instagram, you know, it's like it's always nice to kind of have that that, and I know they're just people. They're all
Yeah.
just people.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some of them have a bigger platform, some of them have a bigger audience, but it's really great when, you know, you have people who you respect and you admire, just give that same respect and admiration back to you. But I did have one question that I thought was really relevant to the conversation that we're having today, and that's around social consciousness. So we talked a lot about accessibility. How do you make sure that the community that you're a part of remains inclusive, it remains diverse, that you're not excluding people, that you're not building walls to prevent people from being a part of the community, whether it's because of their background, their culture, whether it's because of their abilities, whether it's because of their experience levels, whether it's because of whatever might make them feel excluded, how do you kind of keep those doors open for people?
So it's really hard to meet everyone request their ask. What I do, what I try to do is to make my stuff accessible is I'll add closed captioning, some subtitles when I create reels. And it sounds easy, but you have to be thoughtful about the font that you use. So you don't want to use, you really shouldn't use fancy cursive, hard to read font. You also have to be mindful of the size of the font. If it's really tiny, that's gonna it's kind of useless for a lot of people to read the closed captioning if it's really tiny. If the closed captioning is in a way like so sometimes when you create a reel, you kind of have to build a relationship with whatever social media platform you're using. Because when you once you upload the video, the like for Instagram, when you create like a post, it can say, you know, applinelove.woodburning, and then my whatever I wrote in the post can hover part of the reel. So it kind of hovers a little bit on the bottom of the reel. So you have to think about that when you add closed captioning to your reel. Make sure the CC is kind of in the you know the coming be a third down. But you figure out the sizing and the placement of closed captioning, and then making sure there's contrast. So like a dark background behind the font.
As a as somebody who's color deficient, I appreciate that.
Yes, yeah. I like bold. I like contrast. I like this Burn Club shirt because it's a black background with a white text. Very easy and simple. And then also some people will do audio description. Now, I don't necessarily do that. I will confess when I create videos, I could add audio description, you know. And what do I mean by that? I could you know, be using my voice over a video saying, here, Krista is holding a wood-burning pen at her studio on the desk, and she has a cedar wood measuring 6 by 6, you know, going into details. And that's another thing is how much detail do you want to disclose? Some people want very little detail. Some people want, give me all the details. And they can have all the details in the head to piece it together. So what I do is when I create descriptions, I'll create it, I'll post it on my post or in my comments. Because when you do a post on Instagram, there's a limited amount of characters. And so I try to be consistent when I create image description. It's always pinned in my comment. So it's always at the very top in my comment. So it's is quick and accessible for one who's looking for that image description. I know it's the little things that really do help people to come back to your page.
There's another social media platform. It's not as popular. It was created by the person who was the founder of Twitter. He left Twitter and then created Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gained some popularity. It's definitely not as popular, but one of the things that I really liked about it is that a lot of accessibility stuff is built right into it. So like when you post a picture, you will post like they require that you put some kind of a, well, I don't know if it's required or not, but it's definitely it's immediately presented to you that you have to put like a description of that picture on there. They put all of these, if you put a video, you have to put, video descriptions, things like that. So it kind of bakes that accessibility right into the platform itself. And I don't know if that's I don't think it's ever going to like overtake the other big social media platforms, but at the very least, maybe some of the other platforms will learn from that and will, start kind of incorporating that stuff right into it and making the basically making the web more accessible to people with different abilities.
Yep, I love that. I love that. And it's a ripple effect, you know, if you start somewhere and then it can continue to get bigger and easier
Yeah.
elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
So, was there anything else about community that we didn't cover? I know that I had sent you a list of questions and we didn't get to all of them, but I think that we had some really good conversation and I'm glad that we spent the time on the topics that we did. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, in terms of, community?
I can't think of anything right now. I'm just grateful to be here and talking with you guys. And I'm so happy that you invited me on the show and talking about this topic.
I'm glad you had a chance, giving you the chance to talk about the things that matter to you, giving you a platform to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love hearing about, I don't know, I think it's super cool. So when I was growing up, my best friend James, his father had lost his vision throughout the course of his life, right? He had developed something late, in adulthood that caused him to lose his vision, and he slowly lost it over time. And when I met James, his father was already, he could only see shadows, right? I think you were describing some of the different, he could see shadows, and that was it. And I remember I was only in middle school when I had met him, how surprised I was that he played guitar. Because, at the time like we were raised to believe that if you were blind, that you were limited in what you can do. And Jim used to, he played guitar, he got around, he would, go around the neighborhood. I mean, he'd take James with him, and James would kind of, he'd to go to the supermarket with him and stuff like that. But for the most part, he was able to do most any. I remember taking my car over there and it broke down, and he came outside and was like describing to me what I needed to look for in the engine, to see. Like he would listen to the engine and he'd say, "All right, I think it's this," and then he would tell me what to look. Like I was like, "This is unbelievable. I cannot believe that this."
Don't let us fool you.
I
We're smarter
it
than we
was.
look.
Yeah, I mean, it was more for me, it was a wake-up call to that I think if you have a disability, if you have something that's limiting, right, you have two choices of how you can approach that. You can either let it hinder you from being able to accomplish things, or you can try to figure out how to work within the confines of what life has presented you and succeed at whatever it is that you want to do by working around the limitations that the world has put in front of you.
Yeah.
And
Well said. Just want to say that. Very well said.
thank you. Well, I mean, and he was a big inspiration to me. And you know, it was I think from that point on, I gained a new appreciation for people who, one, people who were who are living with disabilities, but two, people who are able to overcome the limitations that those disabilities put in front of them and still continue to succeed in ways that some people who don't have those disabilities aren't even able to excel.
And in the very beginning of the podcast show, I was talking about how I discovered wood burning art after I became legally blind. And this was there's a time period when between that time period of being diagnosed legally blind and figuring out I was going through depression and went down that rabbit hole, okay? And I needed something to do with my hands and my mind, keep my hands and my mind busy. And so when I picked up that wood burning pen, most people would not expect a person of low vision to do that activity. And I think it also pushed me to show them that, like, yeah, I can do it. I'll be able to make it work. It may not be as quick as somebody else who is a wood burning art, or maybe I just have more of an appreciation for the process. It does force me to slow down. I like that it forces me to slow down. It's therapeutic for me. So it definitely is perspective with how one looks at a challenge versus another looks at it as an accomplishment, I guess. As
You can either look at a disability as the reason to crumble and fall, or you can look at it as a reason to get up and fight.
Well said. We all have purpose in life and we all can do something. It just may look a little different.
And I mean, you picked the right medium for going slower because, man, I learned this when I was practicing with the wood burner. It is a slow process.
Kept telling him to slow down. He kept trying to go fast. I'm like, slow down,
Slow
slow
down. That's
down,
the key.
slow down.
It takes it. You know, I am a I do
He does pixel
skipping.
art.
Well, I do pixel art, yes, and I do
Okay.
sketching, and both of those are things that they. Like it's instant gratification, right? When you put pencil to paper and you swipe the pencil along the paper, it's an immediate gratification, right? It's not the same with the wood burner. You have to kind of delicately move it along the path that you want it to and go over and over. And definitely the correct medium for somebody who is taking their time.
Yes. And when I'm wood burning a piece, the process itself, I don't even see the complete piece until I either back up and give it some distant between me and the art piece, because that's how I can see the overall image better, more so using my phone camera. And so when I finish a piece and I look at the phone camera, the camera screen, oh wow, I created that piece. I didn't realize it until, because I was going so slow to focus in the moment, like wherever I am. So I like to go hiking. When I'm hiking, I will stop frequently so I can take a look around my surrounding. When other people, when they're hiking, they can look and hike. Me, I have to like, hold on, I want to take this in. And I'll look around. Okay, we can keep going. So it's kind of like that with life for me. I like to slow down one step at a time, one day at a time, and just take it in.
I think that's
Take it
fair.
in.
And I
And
think that
then it can
more
be
people should
rewarding
practice doing
when you
that.
go back. It can be rewarding when you're like, wow, I did that. Wow, I finished that hike. That's really cool.
I think more people should do that.
Yes.
So tell us, Krista, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at blindlove.woodburning.
And do you have any upcoming events or anything that you're working on that you want to plug?
Not at the moment. I am in it one day at a time.
Well, I'm sure people will be able to see all the lovely things that you're working on your Instagram. And we really appreciate you ha we really appreciate you making the time for us, spending some time and sharing your experience. I was really excited about this one because I really did want to hear what, because we speak to a lot of people, a lot of artists, a lot of biographers, but rarely do we get a chance to talk to somebody who's approaching it from such a different perspective. And I think that this one was really exciting for me, and I'm glad that you were able to make the time to join us.
Really
And me
appreciate
too.
it. And I'd like to say that it was an honor when you guys reached out, because many times I'll be asked to speak on a podcast that's related to the disabled, the blind, the deaf. And it made me so happy when you guys reached out, like, oh, they're actually interested in, not just my disability, but also with wood burning and art. And so I was really happy to be.
We want to try to find our community, right? You
Yes,
know,
yeah.
that's our goal. And I mean, even though I'm not a pyrography artist, I'm one by proxy, but
I mean, you poke your head in enough of my groups when I'm on Zoom,
I guess so.
and
I put razor tip to wood, so I guess I am now.
then
All right, so I've just a couple of quick plugs for us. We are BZ Furfur. You can find us on Instagram at BZ underscore Furfur. You can also find us at bzfurfur.com. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Pyro Toasty Talks. We also have a website, pyrotoastytalks.com. You can go there and you can buy yourself a t-shirt. All the funds from the t-shirt sales go to the podcast and helping it stay afloat. We also use Discord for conversation about the podcast. So we have moved all of our conversations over to the Burn Club Discord server. So if you want to join those conversations, we encourage you to head on over to Burn Club and join the Discord. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us the topics that you want to hear about. Introduce us to new artists who might be interested in talking to us, like Krista was today. We want to just again give a plug to woodburncorner.com. They've been doing a lot to help us to kind of make the podcast reach a wider audience this year. We also want to thank It's David and Renee, our friends who've been a part of Pyro Toasty Talk since the beginning. So we definitely want to remind you to go check out